If they want peace, they and their relatives must stop the war. Sherman's always good for a quotation. He had a way with words. His letters and pronouncements, I think, are the most interesting by any officer on either side. So now off he goes, the smoldering remnant of Atlanta behind him. His men were happy to be on their way. They were very confident, jaunty. There was almost a joking, bantering air about this army, this veteran army. It moved in four parallel columns, covering a front of between 50 and 60 miles. So it's a 50 to 60 mile swath that Sherman is going to be cutting across Georgia. His cavalry roamed back and forth in front and among the various columns. Most of the fighting was done by the cavalry. As I said earlier, there is no major Confederate army to get in Sherman's way. It's an unusual campaign in that regard, in that you have one of the biggest armies of the war going almost unopposed through an important part of the enemy's country. Sherman's orders were to forage for food, but to spare civilian property. These orders were not followed closely, I hasten to add. Only occasionally did enough Georgia militia get in front of the columns even to attack a Confederate brigade or two, and the result was almost always a quick repulse for the militia, and on surged Sherman's army. It averaged 10 miles a day. On December 21st, the Federals entered Savannah, and Sherman wired Lincoln, quote, "I beg to present you as a Christmas gift the city of Savannah, with 150 heavy guns and plenty of ammunition, and also about 25,000 bales of cotton." The damage left behind was immense, if not quite as catastrophic as legend would have it. It seems when you read some things or even listen to some people talk about Sherman that he burned every house, destroyed everything everywhere in Georgia and in a couple of neighboring states besides. That wasn't the case. Sherman himself, however, estimated that he did $100 million worth of property damage. He said a fifth of it was of use to the Union, the other four-fifths, as he put it, sheer waste. And far more than public and war-related property was stolen or wrecked. There were men called bummers with Sherman's army, foragers not under control of their officers, who did much of the worst looting. Confederate deserters and guerrillas also did a fair amount of looting in the course of Sherman's march to the sea. It was a very chaotic period for this part of Georgia when there wasn't really any authority, and men from both sides took advantage of that. The Federals on the march knew there'd be little resistance. And as they went along, their mood became more and more carefree. They didn't really have to worry about battles. It was a very strange kind of campaign. One of them wrote, quote, this is a Union soldier, "We had a gay old campaign, destroyed all we could not eat, stole their Negroes, burned their cotton and gin, spilled their sorghum, burned and twisted their railroads, and raised hell generally." A Southern officer who moved in the track of the armies described a very different scene. Or described the same scene in a very different way, I should say. He said the track of the army was littered with the putrefying carcasses of cattle, hogs, mules, horses, and other animals, creating a terrible stench that attracted innumerable buzzards that feasted on the rotting flesh. There's the other view. There's the Confederate view of what is going on here. The march did hit Southern morale in this area quite heavily, just as Sherman hoped it would. One Confederate soldier summed up the feelings of many others when he said he'd given up hope of defeating Sherman's legions. I won't try to imitate his dialect, but he said, quote, "We've been getting nothing but hell and lots of it ever since we saw them damn Yankees, and I'm tired of it. They're thicker than lice on a hen and a damn sight ornerier." That's in a letter that he wrote at the time. Tremendous celebrations took place across the North, of course, and more was expected from Sherman. The march had been devastating to Southern logistics, to railroads, to any war-related industries that Sherman's men could reach, to food production, and it had been devastating, as I said, to the morale of many of the Confederates in his way. It had been an almost unqualified success, and it had shown that the strategy of exhaustion could be applied quite effectively to the Confederacy. Now, Sheridan had already demonstrated that in the Shenandoah Valley. This isn't the first time that this strategy has been applied. Sherman's campaign is often seen as